It's really all about power and territory. See, when someone or a group of people abuse the Bible and use it to degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject a person or group of people, the ones who degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject need to be stopped. Abusing the Bible to degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject is never right. It is never Christian. It is never good. So why am I talking about that today when we've got Paul and Silas in jail and an earthquake and a jailer's baptism? And why am I talking about Bible abuse? It relates to how the whole scene started. When we read the story, usually we remember Paul and Silas were bound in jail all night long, and that old jailhouse rocked and swayed, and the jailer said, "What must I do?" Paul and Silas, really, in many ways, before this all happened, were minding their own business, just going to pray. Now, they were preachers, and they were talking about Jesus to people, but in this case, they were just minding their own business, going to pray. And a slave woman who made lots of money for her owners kept telling them, or telling everyone, "These two are slaves of the Most High God." They proclaim the way of salvation. And she annoyed Paul. You don't see this in the Bible too often. Usually it dresses things up nicer, but it says, "Paul, very much annoyed." We can get that because all of us have been very much annoyed at someone who keeps talking. I know sometimes it's kids, right? And I don't mean kids in church. I mean sometimes kids ask questions. Teachers know this. But why? But why? And sometimes teachers, very much annoyed, say, "Just go sit down." Or parents do that. "Because I said so," right? Very much annoyed. You ever heard that from your parents? No? Anyone? Anyone heard "because I said so"? Yeah, you've heard that from your parents, haven't you? Yeah, that's when your parents are very much annoyed, right? Well, Paul was very much annoyed. Paul really just wanted her to go away and to let him do what he wanted to do. There's no real compassion from Paul in this situation here. He thought that she was just a nuisance. So after simmering for a bit, Paul finally lost his temper. It said that she said this for days and days. He angrily cast out whatever it was that was annoying him in this woman. "I command you in the name of Jesus to leave her." And she stopped telling fortunes. And her owners were angry. They were no longer going to be able to make gobs of money from her. They were no longer going to be able to make gobs of money because of Paul. A much annoyed and not very compassionate Paul, but still because of Paul. So these men were no longer going to be able to make gods of money. They roughed up Paul and Silas, got them thrown in prison on the charge of preaching. Pretty much. That was the charge. Veiling a desire for money or power with religion is similar to and just as bad as abusing the Bible to any end. When someone or a group of people who abuse the Bible to degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject a person or group of people find themselves chastised, uninvited, or prevented from degrading, exploiting, marginalizing, or rejecting a person or group of people, they're not having their rights violated. We've got to be clear about some things like this. Or their religious liberties attacked. Those who abuse the Bible to degrade, to exploit, to marginalize, or reject are being called to task for abusing the Bible and ignoring God's rules of love. And no matter how you dress it up, the real reason behind the righteous indignation of those who abuse the Bible to degrade, exploit, marginalize, and reject others, it's the loss of power. It's the loss of territory. People in power don't like to lose it. None of us like to lose power. People whose power hold comes from degrading, exploiting, marginalizing, or rejecting others will try to make their cause seem righteous. It is not. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail with false religious accusations. What they really did, out of annoyance, was to heal someone that had been degraded, exploited, marginalized, and rejected. See, it was really about power and territory. There's lesson one for today. The Bible and religion must never be abused to build up power or territory of one over the other. Life rule, rule of faith. The Bible and religion must never be used, must never be abused. Used works the same way there, though, to build up power or territory of one over another. It goes against the basic principles of why we have the Bible. Moving on. Paul and Silas spent their time in prison, shackled and under heavy guard. They passed the time by singing and praying. And then there was an earthquake, and the jail shook, and the doors opened, and the shackles came off. That's just like in the cartoons where it's like, you know, shake, and then everything that was secured is unsecured. That's kind of the vision I get there. The Bible story doesn't say exactly how it all happened, but the doors opened, the shackles came off. Paul and Silas were set free, and they didn't leave. They stayed to share the good news with a jailer who thought his life was over. He had failed on his most important assignment, to guard these criminals. That's what he was doing. He was guarding criminals. He said, pay attention, don't let them get away. But then they shared the good news, and the jailer believed, and he took them to his home, and they shared the good news with his home, and they believed, and things happened just as Paul had said when the jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? We might ask, there's a professor at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. His name is Ronald Cole Turner, professor of theology and ethics. He suggests this, the question, what must I do to be saved, that comes from the jailer. It's like, what must I do to be saved from this calamity that is in front of me? Because I'm in big trouble because you got out. And regardless of how you got out, what must I do to be saved from this horrible thing that is bearing down on me and is going to hit me smack in the face? We might ask a question similar, like, what must I do to be saved from what destroys me? What must I do to be saved from my particular bondage, from my oppressive addiction, emptiness, or boredom? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And here comes a difficulty. How is it that someone comes to believe? Can someone be saved? Can God save someone who doesn't believe? What about someone who doesn't know what to believe? Significant questions of our faith. You know, if we put the impetus on us, we must believe this, otherwise God can't do it, it limits what God can and can't do. And God doesn't have limits on what God can or can't do. And so it's worth considering, how does this all work? If we have to do something, then grace is not grace. Lesson two, God is bigger than our simple you're in if or you're out if ideas. Also, this passage isn't about who has to believe what. It's about how God is the one in charge of all that. You will be saved, and your household doesn't put the impetus on the household. It says the jailer must believe. But then right in the same sentence, your household will be saved. And it doesn't say what they had to do. God is the author of our salvation. I choose to believe. And I share that news with people. And I plant seeds. And I hope that I'm part of what God is doing instead of what God is getting around. You know? Lesson two again. God is bigger than our simple you're in if or you're out if ideas. This passage isn't about who has to believe what. It is about how God is the one who is in charge of all that. And now that part that I said was going to come. Everyone in the house was baptized. When a household is baptized, that means that the parents are baptized. That means that the servants are baptized. That means that the children, the babies, are baptized. Everyone was baptized, from old to young to younger, adults, children, workers, babies. And today we had a baptism of a baby and a almost baby and not quite toddler. Right? Still a baby, right? Always going to be your baby. But, you know, when he's like 17, he's your baby. So God's in charge of all of it. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. God gets to do what God's going to do. Remember the theme of the Bible, that God creates and we mess up and God redeems and we mess up and God builds again and we mess up and God does something great and we mess up. Paul was mean. God turned the situation of Paul being annoyed and mean into one of deliverance, not just for Paul and Silas, but also for a jailer and for his entire household. Lesson 3 for today. God's desire is that all would be saved. It's listed in one of our famous verses, John 3:16. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And there's that believe in there. The very next verse, God did not send his Son into the world so that it would be condemned, but that through him it would be saved. And if God's desire is that the world would be saved, God gets God's way. I don't know exactly how it all works. I can't come up here and say that this is exactly what you have to say. This is exactly what you don't have to say. But God gets it done. I don't know why there's nastiness in the world. I could blame it on our poor actions and the things that we do. But sometimes nastiness happens and we didn't do anything to cause it. And I don't understand why earthquakes destroy places. I don't understand why people make decisions to do horrible things when they think that they're going to be good. I don't know why there's so much awfulness that happens in the world. But ultimately, I do believe that God gets God's way. And God desires that all would be saved, right from our scriptures. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. And God invites you to experience new life. And God will not fail in saving you and your household. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for new life, for new opportunities. Thank you that you are the author of our salvation. Thank you for loving us no matter how many times we mess up. Help us to believe. Help us to know. Help us to share your good news. Thank you for your unconditional love. Amen.